longest ever he has left it.
Debbie McGee relives the ups and downs of adolescence.
Felt really good today. Had a spring clean and a tidy up of my bedroom.
Rufus Hound hosts a new series of juvenile journals.
Matt phoned at meeting on Saturday night.
For the listener at home, Debbie's gone what I think is burgundy.
My Teenage Diary on BBC Radio 4 begins tomorrow evening at 6:30.
Now on Radio 4, hesitation, repetition and more than a little deviation from the team as Giles Brandreth hosts this week's Just a Minute.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name's Giles Brandreth and I'm here today sitting in for Nicholas Parsons, who after a record-breaking half century at the helm, quite rightly thinks he should be allowed a day off for good behaviour. So as the minute waltz fades away, it's my privilege to welcome our many listeners in this country and around the world and to introduce the four tip-top talents who are here to play Just a Minute, displaying their oracular genius with words and language as they attempt to speak on a subject I give them for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation. Seated on my right are Paul Merton and Josie Lawrence, and seated on my left, it's Sarah Pascoe and Tony Hawkes. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me is my colleague Hayley Sterling, who is going to help me keep the score and blow the whistle when each 60 seconds has elapsed. And we're going to begin today with Tony Hawkes. And your first subject, Tony, is spring forward. Tell us what you can on the theme of spring forward in 60 seconds, starting now.
If I were to spring forward in an exuberant manner,
Paul, what's your challenge?
Well, it was the exorbitant, it was a deviation from the word exorbitant. Extravagant,
It sounds like a seabird, doesn't it, an exorbitant?
Yes. It
does. Yeah. A correct challenge, Paul. Yes. Well done, you score the first point.
Yeah, how long did I go for, Giles?
You went for a quite impressive 4 seconds.
It's a personal best.
Yeah.
Which means, Paul, you've got 56 seconds on spring forward, starting now.
Spring forward, fall back. Those are a way of remembering what happens to the clocks at those particular time of year. Spring, you put the timepieces forward by an hour. And in the autumn, or as the Americans call the word I used earlier, but they don't actually, because it's we that do that, they're the other ones, they put it back. So I would like to...
Tony, what's...
I repeated back.
Repetition of back.
Yes.
Repetition of back, a correct challenge.
Try not to repeat autumn, so I repeat it back instead.
Tony, you get a point for a correct challenge, and you get the subject, which is spring forward. You've got 38 seconds left, starting now.
This is organised by the government, so people all over the country can be an hour late on a Sunday and disappoint all their friends. Of course, they may be 60 minutes early when it goes the other way. That's how it works, but enough science. Let's move on. I would like to spring forward into the front row and sit and watch and admire this magnificent programme.
Paul, challenge.
No one's stopping you.
Well, it's full. Front row's full.
Oh, somebody went to the loo, just nip in there.
Do you have a challenge within the rules of the game?
No,
don't.
Not within the realms of this show, I don't know.
That was amusing, though, so you get a bonus for that, but you keep the subject, Tony, and you get a point for an incorrect challenge, and you have 11 seconds left on spring forward, starting now.
I have a trampoline in my garden which is not functioning correctly, and I found that if I moved a spring forward and a little bit to the left, it started to perform in a magnificent fashion, which I was delighted about.
A great start to the show. Well done, Tony. You are in the lead. Paul is just behind you. Sarah and Josie have yet to score, but this is Sarah's big moment. And Sarah, your subject is the egg and spoon race. You've got 60 seconds to talk to us about the egg and spoon race, starting now.
Oh my gosh, said the teacher. You've brought such a big egg because you've got a pet emu. We're going to have to look for bigger spoons. The teacher ran to the staff room where all of the other teachers were smoking and drinking instant coffee because their job is hard and they're underpaid. Spoons, she shouted to everyone in the room. Sophie's got an emu.
And Josie has got a challenge. What is it?
I think it's repetition of emu, yeah. But it could have been emu's egg.
I think emu was repeated a little...
Unexpectedly, in the subject being the egg and spoon race.
But I'm afraid your double emu costs you, yep. And Josie gets the subject, and she has 38 seconds left on the egg and spoon race, starting now.
Egg and spoon races are usually played at parents' and pupils' sports.
Tony, what's your challenge?
Is there a hesitation?
What?
I think there was a slight hesitation.
Oh. As well, you... Tony.
Did you hear Crossrail going underneath?
I was just pronouncing my P's.
She's pronouncing her P's.
But given that Tony is already in the lead and yeah. That we love hearing from Josie...
Yeah, go and sit in the front row, for God's sake.
That's no way to talk to Giles. Yeah. He's ruling in your favour.
I'm ruling in your favour because she's a distinguished actress and an award-winning actor. And therefore these theatrical pauses are almost part and parcel of what she brings us. So that slight hesitation can be overlooked. But don't do it again, Josie.
I won't.
All right?
I will now.
Josie, you have got 33 seconds left on the egg and spoon race, starting now.
The mums and dads are always so competitive on these occasions, aren't they? And they play the sack race and also the egg and spoon race. Now, it's quite difficult.
And Paul has challenged you.
Was it repetition of race?
Yes.
No, isn't it egg?
No, race is on the card.
Oh, is it not the egg and
spoon? It was a repetition of race, but on the card we have the egg and spoon race.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there we are. Incorrect challenge, so you get an extra point, Josie, and you keep the subject, and you have 22 seconds left on the egg and spoon race, starting now.
It's quite difficult, you know, to balance an egg on a spoon. Have you ever tried it? I have. What you have to do is think of, you know, when you take a cup of tea upstairs and you don't want to spill the tea, the best...
Paul.
Repetition of tea, sadly.
Yes, and I think spill even. But anyway, definitely repetition of tea. Congratulations, Paul. You get a mark for that. And you get the remaining 11 seconds on the egg and spoon race starting now.
It isn't much of a race about human participation. You put the egg and the spoon at the starting line, you fire the gun and they just sit there like an egg and a spoon. So what you have to do undoubtedly is refer to people nearby...
Paul gets a point for speaking as the whistle went, which means he's now moved into the lead. And our next subject comes to you, Josie, and it is this, a chain reaction. Tell us what you can about a chain reaction in 60 seconds, Josie, starting
now. A chain reaction is something that happens when a reaction is caused by a chain of events, a bit like a domino that you flick and all the other dominoes fall down. I'm going to see what happens to my brain when I say the word chain reaction. All right, I'm thinking of my friend Sylvia. She gets a reaction to her chain when she wears it round her neck, comes up in terrible hives. Also, chain reaction is a song by some group. I don't know their name, but...
And Tony Hawks has challenged you.
Diana Ross.
She's not a group.
She's not a group, therefore it's a deviation within the rules.
I think
a chain reaction, chain reaction, which isn't the Diana Ross one.
Who?
Oh, what's the difference?
I'm in the middle
I can
of
remember
chain
we did a show a few weeks back, didn't we, Giles, when Josie blatantly lied in order to keep
And I gave her the benefit of the doubt on that occasion.
There is another chain reaction, isn't there? Not just the...
And on this occasion, Tony, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, because...
You Google it.
No, because I am channeling Nicholas Parsons at this very moment, and he's saying, when you don't know the answer, just give each of them a benefit of the doubt and just hope nobody else notices either. But I think that was an effective and telling intervention, so I'm going to give you... the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give you the point and the subject, a chain reaction. 31 seconds left with it, starting now.
Diana Ross sang Chain Reaction. It was a Bee Gees song, had an extraordinary lyric in it saying, you got a pedestal and put me on it. What kind of behaviour is that to do with your loved one? To drag them around some sort of bathroom salesman and buy one of these things which is pointy and flat at the top on which...
Josie's challenge.
Well, deviation, come on, he's meant to be talking about a chain reaction and he's now talking about buying a pedestal in a shop.
What is your justification?
Well, he's deviated from the subject.
One leads to another. I suppose that could be described as a chain reaction, but I think I want to give you the benefit of the doubt with this challenge, Josie. And I'm going to do so. So you get the point for a correct interruption. You get the subject for the remaining 10 seconds, which start now.
Nobody can ever understand what can happen when one event makes something else happen in that particular...
And Tony has challenged you.
Repetition of event.
Yes.
Oh. Repetition of event, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A correct challenge. You get a point for that, and you get the subject, Tony. You have 5 seconds left to give us a chain reaction starting now.
When you say one thing and it leads to another, then all of a sudden the world...
Tony, it's your turn now. Oh, this is a subject I'd love to have had. Oh, Tony.
Yeah?
Lucky you with this subject. Tony, you've got 60 seconds now to talk to us on this subject, buttons. Buttons. 60 seconds on that, Tony, starting now.
I would like to apologise before I do this in case I'm not as interesting on this particular subject as our chairman would have been had he been sitting in my seat. That's a given, and I'm just creeping to him so he gives me the benefit of the doubt. I don't like buttons on flies. I prefer zips. They're much easier, although if you catch something in them, one is kinder than the other. But let's move on from that particular area into perhaps the ITV Panto many years ago I watched, and Frank Skinner played buttons. But he was so brilliantly upstaged by the man who played Lucretia, the ugly sister.
Josie has challenged you.
Repetition of played.
Yes, oh, yeah. The man who played buttons.
He was about to praise somebody.
Yeah.
Well, now we'll never find out who it was.
Well done. A point for a correct challenge, Josie. And you get the subject, which is buttons, and you have 18 seconds left, starting now.
I used to collect buttons. They're such beautiful things. Suede-coated ones. Ones that are... Oh!
Paul.
Repetition of ones, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Totally correct. Good challenge. Yeah. You get a point and you get the subject. Buttons, Paul. 11 seconds only, starting now.
When I was playing Lucretia in the ITV pantomime, Frank Skinner was Buttons and I was one of the ugly sisters, along with Ronnie Corbett. And what a great joy it was to walk out there dressed up to the nines.
Well, that has helped move you into the lead, Paul. You're just ahead of Tony, who is just ahead of Josie. And Sarah,
Yep. Your
subject is First Class. And you've got 60 seconds on that, Sarah, starting now.
When you've got a lot of money, you don't have to queue with the other people when you're going onto an aeroplane. You get to go instead on a special aisle, which leads you onto the vehicle, which goes into the sky. You get a bigger seat, and a very beautiful lady, who also smells amazing, comes over and gives you hot nuts and a glass of champagne. Instead of a safety announcement, you don't need one, you're rich. And then every so often, you get woken from a slumber and given berries from her mouth because you're specialer than other people because of cash that you've earned or stolen. Who cares? It probably means you're a bad person. Why do some people have more than others? I don't know. Inequality. It's not fair, but it means that you've got a bigger part of the sky train.
Paul, your challenge?
Very slight hesitation.
Yes, I think I just caught it. That was a correct challenge. You get a point for that, and you get the subject, Paul. First class. And you have 12 seconds with it, starting now.
I know, it's a bit of disappointment to you all, and all I can say is I will follow up these 12 seconds, which have probably become shorter now, with my definition of first class. Undoubtedly, if you think of yourself as being a first class person...
First class performance, Paul. You get that extra point for speaking as the whistle went, which means you move further into the lead, still ahead of Tony and Josie, who are neck and neck, and Sarah is yet to score. But that was very impressive. You were on the edge there of getting a double point for doing the whole 60 seconds.
I think you're being kind to
me. No, I'm not. And our next subject comes to you, Josie. The subject is tending my garden, Josie. Tending my garden. You've got 60 seconds with that. Tending my garden, Josie, starting now.
I like to keep my garden tended. There's nothing like pruning your bushes to make you so wonderful and clean and tidy. It's very therapeutic. I've got a 30-foot garden and it's full of beautiful things. New Zealand tree ferns, yuccas, one so tall and yet I bought it back from Columbia Road Flower Market when it was only tiny. At the back, I've got a Chinese pagoda and I sit there every morning to take my coffee and my cats come and join me. Yes, I'm a woman that has feline creatures. Would you have guessed it looking at me? At the back there's bamboo, a huge mound of it, black-stemmed, the best.
Tony Hawks has challenged.
This is very technical here, but I think she's just telling us about her garden. She's not telling us about tending her
Tony, garden. You no. used to like me.
No. There is no question that that is an incorrect challenge.
Oh, okay.
The word tending is the same root as the word tender. She spoke of her garden with such affection and tenderness that unquestionably she was tending her garden.
And so, I'm not lying. I do love my garden.
That was coming over.
You've got the point, and you keep the subject, and you have 18 seconds left, Josie, on tending my garden, starting now.
My patio is covered with jasmine and also lemon geranium, and every morning I go out and pick off a little leaf or...
Paula's challenge.
Do we have morning before? Every morning I go have a cup of coffee in my pagoda.
Yes. The cup of coffee earlier in the morning. I think we have had a repetition of morning. A good challenge, Paul. Well done. You get a point for that, and you get the subject, tending my garden. 11 seconds, starting now.
When I look out of my front window and I see the grass growing every day, I wonder to myself, what shall I do next? Shall I go to the Chinese pagoda where I've got the mound of bamboo where I have me...
Paul remains convincingly in the lead, despite the repetition of Chalet in the last round.
The first one was Chalet.
Ah. Despite the poor diction in the last round. Paul,
suspense.
Your subject now, it's the Isle of Wight. The Isle of Wight, Paul, 60 seconds, starting now.
The Isle of Wight, I've been there once or twice. I once interviewed a cameraman. Oh, yes, repetition of once.
That's what you think. What does Josie think? She challenged?
A repetition of once.
Correct challenge. Mm. You get a point for that correct challenge, and you get the subject, Josie. It's 56 seconds left on the Isle of Wight, starting now.
What's amazing about the Isle of Wight is it's a very spiritual place. There's a lot of mediums there. I actually went and visited a medium's fair.
Tony?
Well, repetition of mediums. Mediums.
Mediums what? With an S, you're correct. Yeah. Repetition of mediums in the plural twice.
I knew he was going to say that.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, about that then.
Correct challenge, Tony. Well done. You get a point for that, and you get the subject, which is the Isle of Wight. 40 seconds on the Isle of Wight, starting now.
I've heard it said that if you go to the Isle of Wight, it's very much like going back in time, perhaps, to the 1950s. But this is perhaps slander.
Josie has challenged.
Repetition of perhaps.
Mm. Yep.
An incorrect repetition, a correct challenge. Well done, perhaps, was repeated. So a point there for correct challenge, Josie, and you get the subject. The remaining 38 seconds on the Isle of Wight, starting now.
I had the most glorious time there. I went to a garlic festival. So many strains of that particular tubular root type thing. Chocolate flavoured, ginger. It's really quite weird what you can do with that particular cooking type of thing.
Sarah.
I didn't know.
Hesitation.
I think so. Yeah. There was.
I feel so bad. I'm going to have dreams tonight.
No.
Why'd you interrupt her? She was telling a story.
It was interesting, but there were pauses there.
Yes,
totally correct challenge.
Yes. Okay.
So you get a point for a correct challenge there, Sarah.
A point?
Yeah.
So I'm to myself.
Yeah. And you get the subject.
Okay.
Which is the Isle of Wight. Okay. And you have only 20 seconds to tell us what you can about the Isle of Wight, starting now.
The Worst Gig of My Life by Sarah Pascoe. I had to get on a ferry from Southampton with three other comedians and go to the Isle of Wight. We got to the venue, which was not, as we had been told, a theatre, but a pub where people were drinking and eating and comedians were apparently regaling them with stories that they had previously believed to be funny until...
Yeah. That was tremendous, if I may say so, Sarah. So you get a point for speaking as the whistle went. And because you managed to pack so much into 20 seconds, it felt like 60 seconds, you're getting 2 points for what would have been a clear 60 seconds. Which means that you are now in a commanding fourth place. Paul is still in the lead. Josie is in second place. Tony is in third. And on we go. And Tony, it's your turn now. And for this round, your subject is I do. I do. Those are the words on the card. You've got 60 seconds with them starting now.
Do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife till death us do part? Yes, I do. For as long as it seems like a good idea.
Josie has challenged.
For as long, is that repeated?
I don't think I heard the words for as long.
No, either. I was just imagining.
I think you were imagining there.
Yeah.
So that was an incorrect challenge.
Are you channeling a medium as we speak? I was just about to repeat that.
Yeah, were you?
Yes.
But you didn't.
Weird.
No.
So it was an incorrect challenge. So you get an extra point, Tony, and you keep the subject, I do, with the remaining 49 seconds starting now.
Do you know the way to San Jose? I do.
Paul has challenged.
Well, deviation, because he said he was about to repeat for as long, and then he didn't.
I was going to.
Well, when are you going to do it?
When I get about another 4 points for being interrupted.
Oh, OK.
A bonus there, Paul, for ingenuity, but Tony keeps the subject. He now has 44 seconds left on I do, starting now.
I do a lot of stuff at home, including tending my garden, which has a pagoda the size of the Channel Islands. I no longer wish to speak on this.
Josie.
I'm sorry, but a while ago he told me off for lying, and yes, he has not got a pagoda the size of the Channel Islands.
Now, it's ridiculous. There'd be water in between it.
Exactly.
Well. Absurd. A correct challenge. You will get a point for that, Josie, and you will get the subject with 29 seconds left. I do, starting now.
I do, I do, I do is a song by ABBA. I do is also a really wonderful, positive thing to say. Are you going to do this? Yes, I do.
Tony.
I think we need to drug test Josie.
What is your challenge within the rules of the game?
Deviation, because you wouldn't answer I do to a question like that.
I think that is a correct challenge. Well done. So you get a point there for correct challenge, and you get the subject. Tony, you have the remaining 17 seconds on I do, starting now.
Do you know that the buttons on your fly are undone? I do. What a wonderful example of how I do can be given as an answer to a question. I feel particularly thrilled that I got that correct and didn't embarrass myself in front of millions of listeners all over the world.
Well, the scores are exciting. I mean, Nicholas always says it's about the fun, not about the scores. I don't agree with that at all. I think it's really about the scores. And Paul is in the lead, followed by Tony, followed by Josie, and Sarah is in fourth place, but about to do remarkable things with her round. Sarah, good subject this for you, I hope. Pythagoras. Pythagoras is the subject. You have, Sarah Pascoe, 60 seconds with that, starting now.
There was a man in ancient Greece. He loved being alive, and he had a son, which was a triangle. One side of his son was much longer than the other sides, and he wanted to work out if there was an algorithm, a sum, some...
Tony has challenged you.
Yeah, once again, a slight hesitation.
Yeah.
He's right. Yeah. He gets a point for a correct challenge, and he gets the subject. So, Tony, it is with you. Pythagoras, 43 seconds, starting now.
It's a little-known fact that Pythagoras was a wonderful right-back for the philosopher's football team over in ancient Greece, although he never wore shin pads. But enough details about that. He was very good with a hypotenuse, and he'd swing it around his head in a cavalier manner and hurl it towards any other Greekish people who would come in his direction, shouting, "Hey, you, tell us about triangles, man. You're so cool." And he did, at great length, sometimes giving out sandwiches to the other people who came, a repetition of people. Go on, buzz me.
And Paul thinks he has a challenge.
I think it was repetition of people.
Yeah.
I think it was repetition of people. It was. Too many people.
I just so wanted to stop.
And Paul so wants to start, he's only got 8 seconds on Pythagoras, and they start now.
As I stood in the corner of the room, I realised there was another presence right behind me. It was Pythagoras. His ghost had come to visit me, although I only had...
The tension is mounting. Sarah is in fourth place. In third place is Josie, just behind Tony, who is just behind Paul. It really is neck and neck as we reach the final round. The final round, Josie, is starting with you. Oh, and the subject is egg timer. You've got 60 seconds to tell us what you can about egg timer. Starting now.
I wonder if the first egg timer was a little old lady in the village who used to come over to your kitchen when you had the boiling water on with the egg in it and just count next to it. I am the old egg timer.
And Tony Hawks' challenge.
Repetition of old. Old lady, oh,
yeah,
old
true.
Egg timer.
Yeah. Thank well you, because I hadn't got a clue what to say about egg timer.
Well done, Tony. A point for a correct challenge. You get the subject. Egg timer. And you've got 48 seconds left, starting now.
My girlfriend came down into the kitchen. She said, "Quick, make love to me on the table." So I did, and asked her afterwards why I had to do that. She replied, "Because the egg timer is broken." And that is the story of how I made it into the...
A challenge from Sarah.
I think his batteries are running out.
Yes.
Correct challenge, Sarah. Okay. You get a point for a correct challenge, and you get the subject.
Okay.
Egg timer is what's on the card. You've got 31 seconds with it, starting now.
Being a woman in your late 30s is a little bit like being an egg timer, but with ovums, and with culture around you asking, "Have you met anyone? And don't you feel lonely when you wake up in the morning at 11 a.m. hungover again?" No. You say...
Paula's challenge?
Slight hesitation.
I suppose it was a slight hesitation.
It was.
I think it was. No, they don't think it was.
The audience are patronising me.
No. We don't do patronising. So, Paul, it was a correct challenge. You do get the point. And you get the subject as well. Paul, you have got 13 seconds left with egg timer starting now.
As every grain of sand falls from the top of the glass to the bottom, you realise this is measuring out time. An egg timer, 3 minutes, 4, 5 minutes, the preference...
Yes, Josie, good challenge, I think.
Repetition of minutes.
A correct challenge. Well done, yes. Josie Lawrence. A point for a correct challenge, and you get the subject egg timer with just 3 seconds to go. Josie Lawrence, your time starts now.
My friend has a mechanical cockerel that makes a strange...
Josie was speaking as the whistle went, so she gets an extra point, which means that she is now in third place, just ahead of Sarah, who is in fourth place, and just behind Tony, who's in second place, which means that our winner this week, top of the league, it's Paul Merton. Well done, Paul, and we say thank you to these four feisty, fabulous players of the game, Paul Merton, Josie Lawrence, Sarah Pascoe and Tony Hawks, and it only remains for me to salute Hayley Sterling, who kept the score and blew the whistle. We thank our producer, the mighty Matt Strong. We're indebted, as always, to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And most of all, we're indebted to this wonderful audience here in the BBC Radio Theatre. We've missed you, Nicholas. It's not the same without you. But from all of us, thank you very much for tuning in. And be with us again when we next take to the air to play Just a Minute.
Yeah, Nicholas Parsons will be back as the chair next week. In the meantime, you can download the programme via the BBC iPlayer radio app. Just a Minute is a BBC...